Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Nathan Kennedy and I'm joined once again by Tyler Baker and Joe Amato. And we're taking a break from Batman this week and we're going all the way back to 1981 to watch an episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which I haven't seen since I was a kid. And I checked out the episode we're about to watch. And I hate to say it, but I don't think this is going to hold up as well for me as it will for the two of you guys. How are you guys doing?
I feel a hate crime coming on. That's what I feel right.
Tyler, you want to give us any backstory on this particular cartoon? I know that it only had 24 episodes. They aired it kind of like in a block of other cartoon shows, including Pride of the X-Men got thrown in there on occasion because they were trying to get the X-Men animated series off the ground at that time. Is there any other tidbits that you'd like to throw before we get started?
It played in the early 80s, and then it just ran in syndication throughout the rest of the 80s, and that's how I saw it, was on the Marvel Action Universe that was, I believe it was on Fox. It was Spider-Man, Amazing Friends, Dino Riders, and then RoboCop, and then they would throw in the Pride of the X-Men pilot occasionally. So that's how I was introduced to the Spider-Man cartoon, was or at least that version, this version, not the solo Spider-Man series that came before. But I always had a fondness for it. I get why people say it's cheesy, you know, and I mean, yeah, there are some silly moments, but not in the sense where you just kind of like, oh my God, man, it's a train wreck to watch. But it's just like, oh, it's a product of a time. It's still fun to watch because at least with this show, you know, they have fun with the people who are doing it, with throwing cameos of characters, as you see in this episode, like Magneto and the Sentinels make quick cameos because
Magneto.
Yeah. Magneto. Yeah. Exactly.
Which as a kid, when I saw it, I'm like, Magneto, what the hell are they doing? You know? And then I would learn that, you know, Wolverine doesn't have an Australian accent. But as a kid, I bought into it until my buddy Matt Hilton said, he's Canadian. He's not an Australian. I'm like, what, really?
Yeah, because in this and then Pride of the X-Men, he does have an Australian accent, correct?
Yeah, and it was done from our friend Larry Houston, who worked on this and directed the X-Men series. He said it was strictly done because Crocodile Dundee was popular and the powers that be behind the series felt that Wolverine should have an Australian accent and not play as Canadian, which is why he shows up Canadian or Australian in this. And then the Friday the X-Men cartoon, which I never quite thought that was really true, but Larry confirmed that that's why he's got an Australian accent in this.
And you guys are going to be talking to him again very soon, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night. He's going to be coming back to talk He-Man with us, and we may touch on a little bit of Marvel stuff as well if we have time. But
yeah, so if you're like listening to this, make sure you go over to Doug Turner's channel and check out Fans of Power.
Yes.
Maybe we can actually, I'll go ahead and put a link to that episode when it's in the can in the description. That way people can go and check it out.
Cool.
Joe, your background with this show, was this one that you watched when it was on?
Oh, when this first came on, when I was a kid, of course I watched it. I mean, you know, these cartoons obviously were geared towards kids, but when you're a young kid, and this is something you're watching Saturday mornings, whenever the hell it came on, because it's been so long since I remember seeing it. But I remember when it was on, I got into it. You know, I felt like, you know, like how when the intro starts and how, you know, it flipped everything in the room to switch from one thing to another. You know, I thought that was cool. It almost gave me like a Batman thought. Like I always felt it, you know, like how the Batman intro was and how sometimes some things would switch, you go from one thing to another. It just seemed different, but I liked it. And no, I mean, you know, like how you said, it could seem maybe a little silly at parts, but again, this—it was never supposed to be a serious, and not supposed to be a slapstick cartoon. Just parts where it's just things you could touch on, like when we get into this episode, you know, with what Firestar goes through, and you see what she dealt with and deals with when she was a kid. Some people can relate to that. It's just relatable things, but a nice, cool backstory. So, no, I enjoyed this. Like I said, it has been a while, but I still enjoy the cartoon, and it was good seeing it after all these years. And let me just say hello to Jake Juggalo and Tamara Shipper in the chat room. Thank you for joining us.
I think most of it's just, for me anyways, just we've been watching Batman. I've been watching Batman when we haven't been doing the shows, and just the contrast.
From a more serious cartoon. Yeah,
I think it's throwing me off a little bit.
It's different, but it's fun. So
yeah.
So when we started up, like I said, we'll get into our commentating, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, if you guys are ready, we're we're watching this on Daily Motion because this is only available in the UK and on bootleg. So it's not kind of hard to get copies of this. So
yeah. And the link to what we're watching is in the description right now. So the couple of you watching us live, if you want to watch along with us, feel free.
I'm reloading it here real quick. Just 1 second here, guys. But I watched this a lot on VHS, as Joe is probably not surprised. And I have VHS in my VHS collection in there, along with a lot of the Marvel animated shows. 1 second here.
Oh, by the way, happy Masters of the Universe Day. That's what it is today, April 28th.
Oh, damn it. We're gonna get sued now.
Uh-oh, got music playing in the background. That's it.
Son of a bitch.
We're off YouTube.
Like, you know, Disney shows up at my door and, you know, the warrant for my arrest and everything right now.
Like 3 seconds. Just be, like, screaming at him, what are you doing to these movies?
Oh, yeah, that's when I would play my case. It's like, you want me to sue? I'll sue you, you know, for emotional distress of your shitty decisions. All right, I'm all set.
All right, Tyler, you wanna give us the countdown?
All right, I'll count down from three like always, and we'll all hit play together. 3, 2, 1, play.
I used to crawl on the floor just to let you know, like this, because of the intro. I remember that was the flashback I had after watching the intro. I was like, I remember doing it all the time at the screen. I would do that. Damn things we do as a kid.
I was reading up too. The voice of Iceman is Frank Welker.
Yeah.
So he did some voices on Transformers. What else? He did Fred on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Fred on Scooby-Doo, he did Megatron, he did the voice of Slimer and Ray on The Real Ghostbusters. I mean, the guy, it's, we could do a podcast about who the guy's voiced. I mean, he's voiced so many characters, and a lot of times you wouldn't even know it was him just because he's you know, used so many, you know, distinctions. I mean, he has such a wide range of voices that he uses. And one thing I always liked about these 80s Spider-Man cartoons, the emphasis on Dr. Doom, which always made me think that Dr. Doom was such a pivotal Spider-Man villain. You know, in reality, he was a Fantastic Four villain, but I always liked the use of that as a kid because Dr. Doom's always been my favorite villain.
It's always kind of a weird pairing for this show, though, when you think about it. Spider-Man, Firestar, and Iceman.
And that was strictly, as far as I know, there was an issue with rights about Human Torch, so they came up with their own Fire character, which, you know, it would have been cool to have Human Torch and Iceman, you know, butting heads a lot, but, you know, because Spider-Man is good buddies with Human Torch. It makes sense from a comic book standpoint, but Firestar works, and you know, in this too, you know, it's I like how they kind of give her kind of a Carrie, just kind of like hints of like Carrie, like when she goes to the prom and all that stuff, which I thought was a nice kind of backstory to her.
I will say I do particularly enjoy the that they had Stan Lee do the narration at the beginning.
Yeah.
He did that
for a lot of these shows. He didn't do it for RoboCop and Dino Riders, but he did it for this and the Spider-Man solo show, I think. No, maybe not for that one, but Pride of the X-Men.
If you guys are watching this on YouTube, you're probably noticing how Tyler's just gradually fading out of frame.
We're getting ahead. We're going to have hair in a second, and all we're going
to
see
is well, you should have said something.
Oh, the road is all sticky. What is it?
You know, and hear his voice.
Like the voice of Spider-Man.
I was just, that's cartoon. Weird. But just as you were getting ready to ask that question, I was getting ready to say something. As a kid, Spider-Man felt more like a man to me when I'd hear that voice, especially with the title of Spider-Man. And picture being a young kid and you're seeing this, you're thinking, hey, he's kind of like a man. And then you realize, oh, but, you know, he's supposed to be a little bit younger. And then when you start seeing, you know, like the other cartoons and things, like, oh, he's more of a kid. But to me, I remember this was my first impression of Spider-Man in any cartoon from what I remembered as a kid. So I thought of him more as a guy. So for me, it worked. I was like, oh, man, he, you know, he's a guy. He's a man.
And here it's like, oh, there's an X-Men reunion. And he's like, can I come? And they're like, no, it's only for X-Men. And then it just jumps right in. Here's Juggernaut. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just jumping right on into this.
Which I love that.
Poor Spider-Man, though. Like, no, you can't come. Surprised and say, well, fuck off. poor Spider-Man getting disrespected. But yeah, Juggernaut, I love damn Juggernaut. Oh, man, he seems so damn menacing and imposing. It's like, how are you going to stop this guy? He freaked me out as a kid. Juggernaut absolutely freaked me out.
I'm glad though that they kind of went through a costume redesign with him because he did need pants.
What, Juggernaut?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I get that, but
I never really looked at it like
you look that up to pubescent boys who just try to find some sort of homoerotic remark to say about it. Oh man, he's pants, you know. But
I never thought of that ever when I watched this as a kid.
No, I'm just saying, like, while having watched it to refresh, I'm just like,
I still don't. Even looking at it now, I still don't. I mean, hell, like I say, we see wrestlers all the time like this. That's why I guess it never ever fazed me seeing this, seeing He-Man, seeing anybody, Conan. It's like, they're just warriors. They're big warriors. And this was like a big monster of a warrior. I mean, look at that shit. When you're seeing that, it's like, I don't care if he's got pants or a whatever the hell he's wearing. It's something I never thought of. I just never did.
And I like this because I always felt that the story, at least between, it's cool they're giving the quick little origin for people who weren't aware of Juggernaut's magical, or just comes from magic, essentially. You know, the Spider-Man had taken on Juggernaut single-handedly in Amazing Spider-Man. The two issues that escapes me, but he's trying to save Madam Web, and Black Tom Cassidy's working with Juggernaut, and this whole battling at a construction site and cementing everything. That's right out of the comic books too. And I often wonder if Larry. I mean, I know this is not written by Larry Houston, but I often wonder, like, did he have influence on that very thing? I mean, because they change a lot of the stuff because it is for kids. You know, you don't have to get super specific with children. You're just trying to introduce these characters and make them entertaining to kids, but also treat them with respect and not make it, you know, silly. Because, yes, the cartoon itself has got, you know, moments that you just kind of feel like, yes, that is clearly cheesy. But like this fight between Juggernaut and Spider-Man, like there's nothing slapstick or silly about it. I feel like they're paying respect to both. And, you know, Spider-Man would, you know, it does have trouble beating him in the comic books.
It looks like he killed him there, you thought. It was like, oh, man. You do. You always got to think of your impressions when you were a kid, when you don't know what's going on, when you don't realize sometimes that the good guy might always win. They want to create those moments. So when they did that, another moment that kind of shocked you as a kid. Think it's Spider-Man. Is he crippled, hurt, dead? You had no clue.
I think the voice for Xavier is terrible in this.
I feel like the voices for the X-Men got better in Pride of the X. And then there's the X-Men Adventure later on in the series where Firestar, which, you know, I know it's, I have no problem with them making Firestar an X-Men because as a kid, I didn't know any better until I realized she was not.
I like the boner alert right here with Iceman and Storm. Hey, I like his reaction.
And she doesn't speak in this episode.
No.
Yeah, she does.
Storm,
yeah, she speaks later. It'll be coming up. I mean, she has a moment where she says something with, you know, like an accent. But
here's Cyclops being a goof. I always hated Cyclops.
I couldn't remember Storm speaking. Now I feel inferior here because I've watched this cartoon.
Oh, right there.
I'd forgotten all about that just because it was such a small.
Yeah, I must have missed it too. I didn't think she spoke at all. Then,
because I just noticed that, you know, she has her little moment with the fight with Juggernaut and.
Here we go.
God, I hated this girl as a kid, man.
That's not me. She was nasty. I mean, she was calling, you know, her a jinx. I was like, she should call Bonnie, like, Bonnie the bitch. I hated Bonnie. She's so mean. And you're like, oh, you're poor.
You're poor. I'm not going to play with you.
Which is not out. I mean, that's, you almost kind of feel like cartoons probably wouldn't portray kids like that today because as if, like, that doesn't happen in schools today.
I sure remember it happening for me. I remember some of them happened kids. To me too. Yeah. That's, I mean, that was a relatable part. I was like, that was damn mean. I was like, I hate that Bonnie. And then she still wants to keep trying to be friends or just to fit in. And, of course, there's always Bonnie, and Bonnie's still always being just that little bitch to her. Oh, man, I hated this girl. Should have burned her clothes and everything.
You can't play with this doll. Here, have this.
Yeah, that was wrong. Give her that thing. It's like, oh, boy. Rotten kids. Showing kids how they could be. They could be mean.
I don't know if you guys did this with your toys, though, but if you had, like, new toys and, like, your friends came over, like, would you pretty much hog the new toy and then let them play with your older ones?
No. I'd let anything that I had, if they came over, we all would just play with our He-Man figures, and you could be the good guys or the bad guys, and, yeah.
I was always, I didn't have too many people wanted to play with my toys. My brother, I would let him play with them. I would never want to play with his toys because I felt like I couldn't enjoy it as much unless it was mine. So for the most part, I just kind of play with my own toys. And on occasion, and most kids that I was friends with were good with toys. They weren't destructive because I knew of kids in school that loved to bury them in dirt and tear them apart and just be like all destructive. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God. Scary to think of what they would do to toys.
And besides my Beast Man figure, where I'd have him like hanging in a little vine when I went, I told you on vacation to feel like he was in a jungle. I never took any of my Masters of the Universe figures outside. I didn't want to get them dirty. So Castle Grayskull, the vehicles, nothing went outside.
Same here. I'm glad we all share that same common bond of like we played with our figures, but we didn't destroy them.
No. Yeah, definitely.
God, I hated hearing that. If my toys went outside, they were always on the front porch where I would play with them on a certain part of the porch that I would pretend was a bank that the G.I. Joes were, that the Cobra was breaking into, or the supervillains were breaking into, or on the back steps. And when I was done, they all went inside. They never touched the grass, the dirt, or anything like that.
Oh, and I like right here where she actually used her powers to start a fire and make.
And she got one. Yeah, I like that. She got one up on her, and then the girls came over to her, and she gave Bonnie that look like, yeah, now they're kind of with her friend.
I do think it was kind of amusing that Bonnie's voice didn't really change that much from being a little girl to like a teenager.
Yeah.
Now, see right here, she's making it all hot and steamy. She should have just threw that on her face and like burned her face.
That would have been nice. It could have created a real supervillain because she's already a rotten woman. So, yeah, could imagine then what she would have been. Maybe they would have did that. They would have had like more seasons. Maybe you've seen Bonnie turn into some crazy supervillain, finding out, the real identity of Firestar.
Yeah. But like Tyler was saying, I got a real Carrie vibe from, especially that part right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was probably definitely.
Go all out. But after I saw Carrie and would go back and watch this, I feel like the lady, I think it's a lady who wrote this one. It really, I mean, and it's cool that they would use inspirations from films into children's cartoons, and that just always felt like a Carrie one. And I like this origin story for Firestar because they're not, I mean, they do a good job of making you kind of feel bad for her situation, but they're not beating you over the head with it because that's not the focus. It's her getting through these tough times and things are going to get better for her. I almost felt like they'd been too scared to emphasize, oh, she's poor. We can't do that. That's not PC. There are no poor people in cartoons and television programming. There's no such thing as that. And I like that, Bonnie and her boyfriend, they're evil to the end in this. There is no, I'm just mad because, I really wanted to be like her. And so I would make fun of her because I really wanted to. No, this girl is a bitch to the end. And her douchebag boyfriend, just like in Carrie, it's like trying to talk her boyfriend, like John Travolta and Nancy Allen and Carrie, to do this evil deed on.
Oh, hey, Dad. Oh,
son of a bitch. All right. Now, as we're watching this, Nathan, you said that you felt this cartoon just doesn't hold up in quality. As we're watching this, what is it, what is it about it that is, as a cartoon fan, what is it that's not really making it?
I think it's the line deliveries, like the voice acting, Xavier sounds goofy as hell to me. Cyclops sounds really derpy, like, oh, hey, guys. And then there's certain situations where it's like they're waving, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh no. It's just scenarios where it's like between what goes on in certain parts and like the lines of dialogue, but just how they're delivered. I think if they would have been said differently, it wouldn't have been as bad, but it just comes across as really corny to me. I hate saying that because I know.
What about Juggernaut? I love how he delivered his lines.
Yeah, Juggernaut's fine. I think it's mostly for me, it's like, we have the scenarios with Bonnie like bullying her and everything, but just some of the lines are just.
Well, real quick, just to let you know, JSP in the chat room said that he actually likes Xavier's voice because he says the voice from Xavier is always the one that comes to mind when he would read a comic. So, yeah, like I said, different impressions for different people. He liked it, and Nathan's a hater of the voice.
Yeah, see, I would probably burn all my comic books if that voice was stuck in my head when I was reading them. It just sounds so ugh to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm sorry.
Well, and I like sometimes with some of the characters, they got it right. And sometimes it almost kind of felt like, well, they're just trying to fill in the gap. And the.
Yeah, like, all right. So take this, like, right here. He's like, well, this is, I can't hear what he's saying. I don't have the captions on or anything either. But I remember the line that he said here when he put that trophy in the case was just really like, okay.
They always have the corny. I mean, there's always going to be some voice that maybe doesn't live up to everybody's expectations.
Well, that's why I feel like, I mean, the emphasis is the flagship characters, you know, and that everybody else, you're just, they're probably using the four or maybe five voice actors they've got. So keep them all there, do a slight variation of this so we can get this character recorded and that character recorded, because sometimes they do feel like they're phoning it in because they are just trying to take advantage and save money. So we use what we got instead of bringing in 10 voice actors, we use five. And other times, you know, I like in Seven Little Superheroes, where you've got Submariner, Captain America, Doctor Strange, the Chameleon, Shauna the Jungle Queen, or She-Devil. You know, I think they did a pretty good job with a lot of those voices in that episode.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if you're comparing this to kind of the other animated shows that were out around this time, that, you know, the other voice acting in this is subpar compared to what
now, I will say, like, I like Spider-Man's voice better in the solo Spider-Man series. I like this one a lot. And his name is Casey. He played Bumblebee on the Transformers cartoon. But the solo Spider-Man, I like him. Probably my favorite next to Josh Keaton, who was on the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, which is, I think, probably the best Spider-Man cartoon that's been done.
Well, there they go. They framed her. Yeah. The whole plan worked. There.
Remember, I never said that. I'm in love with her this whole time.
I like the news. I like this big headline here.
Yeah.
That's what Bonnie did too. Here, put this in the newspaper. Make it front page, you know.
Right. Nice and big, bold. Yeah.
And there's the moldy walls in their house to emphasize that they are poor.
Right. I'm sorry.
It'd be great if since she could do that with an arrow, she got to write "bitch" on the hood of the car.
That's what I said, yeah, earlier. Like, Bonnie the bitch. She should have put that there. Like, file that bitch. That's all they have to do. I like that. Yeah. So now, yeah, she's gonna find out what this plot is. She's doing something. She wants to build up so she can clear her name. So she'll find that out here soon.
She was like, and no one could see me. And I'm like, I'm sure someone had to have looked up there and like, there's a person flying.
Like, hey, oh, that.
Where you've got superheroes running around and stuff like that too. It's probably like kind of common.
See, we're just using this commentary. I'm in the role. I should have said, "Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Capes and Commentaries." I'm Tyler Baker, since I'm like hating on this so much.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't find Duck Fest like you normally do there, Nathan. not everything can be as quirky as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Hey, man.
Hey, at least I knocked the second one, not the first one, because I know you like the first one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The second one was meh, but, you know.
Well, everybody said
seeing this shit, you imagine just being there at a game and somebody just announces themselves. They come, they fly, and they get you and put you on, you know, blast right in front of everybody. But, yeah, that'd be weird. Like, who the hell is this? What is going on? But I like it. That's the way to do it. Like,
well, to humiliate this girl in front of everybody and then say, like, oh, not good enough. You're going to say it loud, cunt.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love how after you see this, after she announces it, love when she just throws her ass in the mud
and just drop her in the mud. Like, no, say it louder so everyone can hear you.
I love it. Like, you say it, and then bam, she just throws that bitch right there in the mud. I love it. Like, there you go. And that's like, she ain't down. Like, oh, you want proof? I'm gonna get your proof.
She's gonna get John Travolta here.
Yeah, John Travolta, exactly.
Perfect timing.
Dropped him in pig's blood.
And drops him in the mud, and then he's like, you're both expelled.
It was your idea. It's like, oh, man, I loved it. That talk about redemption. One thing I don't remember, I never remembered having my name on my locker. You just had a, you know, the lock, and you had your locker number. But, you know, for cartoons.
Yeah, I think that would be worse if they had everyone's name on.
Yeah, people would be messing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that's Joe's locker? No, they just mess with you with a shit like crazy. And, like, they're all like, I believe, like, yeah, I'm sure you believe me. You know, like, that's how it usually is. If you ever had your name cleared for something, all the people that are talking about you, suddenly they're your best friend. Oh, I believed you. I knew you were innocent. Like, yeah, I bet you did. Oh, here we go. Kicking the can and what happens.
Yep.
And
And
this
for
show.
those who may not know, which I assume anybody who watched the show has probably watched a lot of them, but there's an origin story of how, the group has met each other. There's an origin story for Iceman. This is Firestar's origin story. There's one for Spider-Man, and then there's one of how the Spider friends actually met too, which is their confrontation with the Beetle. So it's pretty cool that there's an episode dedicated
Oh,
to each
God.
character while they're
Sorry to
taking.
interrupt again. It's just Cyclops showed up and I wanted to throw up.
Nathan, I'm talking. There'll be no yuck remarks right here while the teacher's talking.
Blah. Cyclops saying something dumb,
Yes, I will.
probably.
Hey, given how cool Cyclops was in the 90s X-Men series, yes, this is a very substandard voice
Meanwhile,
actor.
Spider-Man's still dead.
This definitely lets you off the hook when this happened. It was a little moment of relief when, especially you almost forgot about him. You forgot about this part even happening. You got so involved in her backstory. Like, oh, wait, shit, yeah, I forgot. Spider-Man was trapped under the rock. Okay, now he's alive. Now what's going to happen next? So, at least gave you a little more excitement and action towards the end throughout the little origin thing, And of course, then you still got a couple other little flashbacks. It kind of did a back and forth, but it worked well.
I always
In
liked
a
that.
danger room.
Yeah,
Always
I
stuff.
was seeing all this stuff, with the X-Men universe, with the Sentinels and Magneto.
Here we go. She calls him Magneto, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I never could quite understand that either, but
Ask Larry
it
about that when you talk to him.
I may have to, because and that may not may have
If
just
he
been
remembers it at all,
yeah.
if he had any involvement
He's
with
a
that.
purist when it comes to the X-Men. He wants the X-Men done right.
Hell, and that could have been just like you said, whoever the voice actor was that were reading the line, and somebody just did not correct her, but she might have been thinking in her head a magnet. So when she said Magneto, that was probably her way of thinking, hey, that's right, and just didn't know.
Boy.
I love man, I love some Juggernaut. Even after getting black, I just love seeing this son of a gun. He's just so frightening and strong. Like, how are you gonna stop
Tears
him?
that car in half.
Damn, I love some Juggernaut. Yeah, and for by the way,
Her
real quick.
first appearance in X-Men also, like with him just coming after Xavier and just comes bursting into the X Mansion. Of course, you got a different roster of X-Men here.
Oh,
But
side note, real quick, to the fans where sometimes they say, who'd win, Juggernaut or Ram Man? People use logic. Ram Man would get the shit kicked out of him
of
by
course.
Juggernaut. So it's like I'm a Masters fan, but just because prefer one or the other doesn't mean that somebody's gonna win. But no, Ram Man would not beat Juggernaut.
No, I
Here's
agree with
where
you.
Xavier hatches his plan. You be the front line.
I like that. I loved when this part came up too. I love when you see Iceman, you're putting up the wall. But when you see Cyclops, I loved watching how he's blasting away that dirt and just making these gigantic holes. And you know what he's leading up to. I loved seeing this. I remember it as a kid, I loved it. But seeing it again recently, I was like, damn, I always loved that part. Because I knew he was going to fall into a big trap. And
Iceman
bam.
gets hit by his own piece.
That's like, here you go. She's got to stay back. No, she's got to wait. And there you go. Bam. Thinking it might work. Hold him off a little bit, but got to get that damn helmet off of him.
Which look of Wolverine do you guys prefer, the yellow, or do you like him in the brown suit?
As a kid, I always preferred the yellow and blue. As I got older, I really came around. I mean, because I first saw him in the maroon and gold. I mean, the both of them are classic. But if I probably had to pick one today, I might have to lean with the maroon and gold, just because I don't know. There's something about it. I mean, of course, they're both badass, but
Yeah.
maybe the maroon and gold.
There
I
you
mean,
go. She gets
obviously
back.
they can't have Wolverine do but so much, because this is early '80s. So there's you can't have a guy who's got claws for weapons, metal claws, hacking and slashing stuff. So you kind of have to.
Look at that.
And
Even fire doesn't
I think
bother
he
him.
had kind of reached his level of popularity had just yet. He was popular, but he was really would soon become, a juggernaut, no pun intended, in comic books, not too far around this time, if he hadn't reached it already.
Saved by the Spider-Man. You're the only one that can do it. You got the abilities to do it. Especially as strong as Spider-Man is, logically, you figured he's
It's
the one.
another thing too. It's they A lot of people don't realize just how strong Spider-Man is. I mean, he's taken
Right.
out the X-Men by himself on a couple of occasions in comic books. He's taken on Juggernaut by himself, but not with physical strength. He had to outsmart him and get him locked in cement, like deep cement, I believe.
Yeah, because it's like the proportion of like how, you know, a spider can carry X amount of its weight and how strong spiders are. So that's how, yeah, there you go. The mind powers to knock out Juggernaut.
The terrible joke I was going to use is he's like, and now you're paralyzed. And I wanted to be like, just like me.
You're terrible. I think you enjoyed this episode a little more than you the lead on. I think it's growing on you when you understand.
I will say it's better without the sound.
Yeah, dude, you really are harsh.
Well, Nathan's got an ass kicking coming to him.
So not used to
he's got a fight coming today. Both Ike Clanton from Tombstone.
Did they all get
something a little bit more serious in tone, which I'm fine with that, because like I do not support silliness, but when I watch the Spider-Man Amazing Friends, I don't look at it as super silly, and I certainly don't laugh at stuff in it. And of course I think they're having soda here.
I always, you know what, I thought when I looked at that, I always thought it was milk. I always felt like it was sponsored by
milk. They might be having milk, you know, to emphasize, you know, kids, be sure and drink your milk.
Yeah
drink your Ovaltine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, oh, well, and by the way, I just switched, since that's off now, I switched to the chat room to see if anything was going on. And JSP mentioned, he said, by the way, William Marshall, the actor who played Blackula, voiced Juggernaut in that.
Yes.
Did not know that. Oh, well, I didn't know. Thank you for that, JSP.
Yeah, so now that we've got our first Amazing Friends under the belt, Nathan, do you have any desire to ever revisit this? Or you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm perfectly fine watching them. I mean, like, I feel kind of bad now that I just sort of like shit on it a little bit.
Hey, don't feel bad.
Here to sit there and say everything is all great. I mean, you know, I'm sure Joe's going to want us to watch. I don't know. I feel like the superhero shows we're all going to watch. Like I'll probably will dump on the 90s Spider-Man show if we ever get around to watching some of that, because I just, as good as it looked, I hated the voice acting and I didn't like a lot of the storytelling, even though it was really, really good.
Yeah, and by the way, Nathan, don't ever feel bad if you feel like you shit over something. I mean, like you said, we can't like it all. I mean, hell, there's times when Tyler absolutely hates something, I don't like something.
I was about to say, like, Tyler hates everything, so I'm good.
Yeah, Nathan can hate all the old stuff. I can hate all the new stuff, and Joe can be a nice mix.
In between both. No, I mean, I'll be honest, because there are times that there's something from the past I might think's kind of good, something present and thinks good, and vice versa, where it's not as good. I mean, hell, I'm sure we'll get in discussions about maybe even current movies at some point where we'll talk about some of these Marvel movies and the real things I might like, Nathan might really love, and Tyler might hate, and Tyler might like. And yeah. I know in the chat room, it's Jake Juggalo said, it seems like Nathan and Tyler got switched, but hey, I know.
I
enjoyed watching this with you guys. Like, you know, revisiting it, sitting there, I'm like, this is kind of corny. To me, it was mostly just the voice acting. Like, the animation's great, but it's just the delivery. Like, some of it just seems so deadpan. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's, come on, man.
I can understand what you mean with voice acting. It's what I said before. Sometimes there could be a cartoon or a movie might have one of the greatest scripts and plots in the world, but if it's not delivered properly with the way they're portraying their voices and characters, it takes you out of the show. It does, you know, you're not believing what's going on. It's like, I'm not really, I know what you mean. Hell, even music does it sometimes. If the music doesn't have the right atmosphere, it just takes you out of the moment.
Yeah. I need to go see Infinity War. That way we can talk about this, because both of you have seen it, and we'll hold off telling everyone our thoughts. But I do want to discuss that movie with you guys and share it with everybody at some point.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and say I hated it. So, you know. I can elaborate why I handed it later on, but
yeah, and I thought it was pretty good.
I know it's gonna be a giant hit with the general audience and people who like to wear superhero shirts they find at Walmart and Hot Topic and never picked up a comic book in their life and think that jokes and jokes and more jokes, and when you've had enough jokes, you get more jokes. You think, this is great, man. I laughed the entire time, man. I've never laughed so hard in my life.
You guys thought we switched, but I brought him back.
That was your way. He did that on purpose. Nathan, he's methodical with the way he thinks. He knows what he's doing. He plans ahead, and he brought back the real Tyler Baker. So there you go. We see your little plan. We got you.
But no, I am more than happy to watch more. There's only, 23 more episodes of this show? that we could watch. So
there are some, you know, I mean, like Seven Little Superheroes, Nathan probably will find silly, but I always have a blast watching that. The solo Spider-Man series I really like, where it's just Spider-Man is taking on Green Goblin, Doctor Doom, which sounds just like Darth Vader. There's one with Submariner, Kingpin, Hammerhead, and Silvermane all in the same episode.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff in the solo one. I love the Green Goblin. That's my favorite of all the old Spider-Man shows is Revenge of the Green Goblin. I love that one to death. But I don't know if you guys want to go back and do more Batman next week. You want to do Justice League? We can do X-Men. We can do the Spectacular Spider-Man from the late 2000s. I mean, there's some quality stuff we could do, whatever you guys want to do.
I guess we can discuss it amongst ourselves and then surprise everybody next week. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Why not? There's no sense in rushing. So, what do you think?
He's like, don't rush at all. Like, what do you want to do? Say it.
Nathan just kind of just sat there.
Yeah, I know what you did. It was like that back to school moment. You remember when he was like, oh, I give this man some time. They were like, quiet. No, that was good. I enjoyed that.
I do feel like I'm the same Kennison of ripping apart a lot of this stuff, you know, where I feel like common collecting, then I'm like, well, that's what a lot of people would like to believe, that it was a great and funny movie. I wish I could, but I was there. You know, I was sitting in the theater just like you. I was up to my knees in shitty jokes.
I
was screaming at the next person next to me because he wouldn't stop talking during the movie.
I brought him back.
I'm here. God, I wish I could play Dan Kennison yell whenever I want. But yes, that'll be our episode 3 for this week, and we'll be back with more superhero action, whether it's cheesy or non-cheesy. We'll find out. Only time will tell. But maybe time stone will change all that.
Well, we won't discuss that until. Yeah, you go ahead. You got to see.
Oh my God, they really did it, man. Yeah, sure they did, kid.
Nathan, all right. Well, cool shirt, Nathan.
He knows, and I gotta wrap us up. Don't pretend like he doesn't know.
Cool shirt, Nathan. You got to wrap us up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're checking this out for the first time, go ahead and hit that subscribe. Hit that little bell so you get the notifications. Make sure you check out Beyond Retro because we always do that show the day after we do this. Check us out on Podbean. I always put down the audio downloads in the description below. And if you don't want to listen to us do the commentary for the episode specifically, if you want to do it separately, like I said before, I always put the link to what we watch in the description below. So I think that'll do it this week, right, guys?
Yeah.
Tyler's got any more ranting and raving he needs to get out before.
You mentioned our email, right? I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah. BeyondRetro84@gmail.com. Yes. Feel free to email us, comment, shoot us suggestions of an episode you would like for us to do a commentary over.
Sure. That'd be good. Yeah. Anything you want, we'll do. Whether it's something we love or hate, it don't matter. I like seeing it all. I enjoy it. Half the time, just the insane ranting is what'll make it fun, too. Especially if something that's absolute garbage. No.
Yeah. Pick something we all hate. It'll be great. I don't know what that would be. I feel like Joe likes most everything. I don't think Joe outright hates everything.
Yeah, I can't think of it. Well, Joe's not as familiar with the X-Men cartoon, so.
Right, I didn't. Yeah, I wasn't real familiar.
Yeah, with I think if that, if there's something that Joe may not have a gravitational pull towards, it probably.
No, I've said it before. It was the '90s. That's when I was kind of out of cartoons almost at the time. So there was a good portion of cartoons in the '90s I missed. Many of which people will tag me a lot. Hey, Joe, what you think of this? Or, oh man, check this out. I'm like, yeah, it looks cool, man. I was like, I'll be honest, I had never really watched it or maybe seen an episode. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I was like, sorry, that's just how it happened.
Joe is too busy playing video games and chasing chicks.
Yep, going
out. So he said.
Yeah, he didn't play video games. This fucker doesn't know those. All these little contests and things he posts is a shit.
Yeah, that Spider-Man jacket's not real.
Yeah, he found that at like a Kmart.
It's a picture found on eBay. You know, he bought it off eBay and takes the auction picture and says, "Man, I entered this contest. I was like Jimmy Woods, man, except I wasn't wearing the mask." And
yeah, it's like Joe, you always say
this douchebag named Lucas Barton. He thought he was better than me at Spider-Man.
Right, because Joe always mentions that closet right there in back of him. That's where he has the jacket. Has he ever taken it out of the closet to show everybody this jacket? If he has it, he's full of shit. But it is. It's right in there. It really is in that closet, I promise. I'm not lying.
And I've got the attorney who plays it in this really small closet. It's still mint in the box that I'm just pretending that I've never owned all these years.
I have to do that. Maybe tomorrow's episode.
Got Wonder Bread He-Man too, you know, because that's real. And, you know, it just people just like, oh my God, man, you know about Wonder Bread He-Man? It's like, shut the hell up, fanboy.
Here we go. Talk about creatures. We always have the longest ending rant. So,
yes.
All right. Done. Well, I'm going to probably get out of here. I got to take off. I got to go to the store. I got to get some supplies and stuff for these make believe customs that I work on too. I got to go do some of that stuff. So, hope you guys enjoyed it. It was fun. And yeah, see you guys next time.
All right. See you guys next week.